Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased today to have as my guest Dr. Hunt Henyon with his book, 2012, Creating Your Own Shift. This is truly a unique book. It's one that gathers information from many different sources, both third dimensional and higher dimensional, which is very important because as we go through this shift, we have to recall that just third dimensional viewpoints are not likely to be of a lot of value unless there is wisdom coming from higher dimensions. This is, after all, an ascension process. So this is a book that I would highly recommend everybody read. It has a very balanced approach. It has wisdom for how you can get through this ascension, which I felt to be very consistent with the information that we got through our meditation group, and also just in terms of having a medical practice, things that have worked for people to, kind of calm down, get their emotional self in order, and proceed through this as something positive rather than something fear-based. Thanks, Hunt, for joining us. Where are you calling in from?
We're in Montana.
Great. Montana is a great place.
It's very pretty this time of year.
I'll bet it is. Well, Hunt, what guided you to put together this book?
Well, like you said, a lot of it was fear-based going into this. There have been rumors about this great shift for decades. People really didn't know what was going to happen, and a lot of talk about the end of the world. So, I was living with a channeler for a while and wrote about our own questions and answers to what was going to happen. And so I put out my own information, but then talking to people, I thought we ought to put together a summary of all the different perspectives from every different expertise. Every profession has its own particular interest in the shift and how it's going to manifest. So there's a lot of self-development people, spiritual types, but then a lot of down-to-earth people too. And now that the 2012 date is over and people know it's not the end of the world, it is sort of time to start figuring out exactly what this means to us. A lot of this book has to do with general theory, but once you get that under your belt, it's good to feel not helpless. It's the shift it takes, all of us to make happen the right way. So that's what this is all about, to see how we can use all these 37 different experts' take on what we're supposed to do to help make this shift manifest.
And I love the way you've drawn from every aspect of what our culture and our planet is involved with. Government. I love Paul von Vord's chapter in here. I'd interviewed Paul on a couple of his other books, and he came from a government standpoint, religious standpoint, medical standpoint, legal standpoint. They're all very important to understand. This is the end of our world, but since our world isn't such a great place to live, that might be something to look forward to.
right. Yeah, it's kind of broken, and there's a lot of universal cosmic things going on, but we're not helpless. Together we all make up the divine force that's going to transform this into the golden age we all want. And people like Paul von Vord, very down to earth. He's very spiritually grounded, but has some really good background in politics and thoughts about how this all should really manifest. A lot of the conversation about the shift, in the Bible, it talks about the confrontation, good and evil, and that's kind of the way people tend to think about it. Mm-hmm. But the neat thing about this shift is it's all, the whole point is unity. So that's sort of how it's going to manifest. People infiltrating those broken systems in economics and politics, medicine, there's a lot of, it needs fixing. So it's a matter of, you know, not good beating up the bad, but just working with it and unveiling our unity slowly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the primal force that the book in various different chapters talks about being behind this. What exactly is the energetic impetus for this shift? I mean, it does come from within us, but it comes from, it's actually energetic through us. That's the way I see it. I see an energy affecting
right.
everything, not just humans, but actually one of the chapters says it's affecting the entire, you know, solar system and maybe beyond. Would you like to talk a little bit about what is behind this? Because this is not just something that happens. This is something that happens
right.
because something's pushing it.
Right. Well, like you say, not just our solar system. The Mayans tied it to the center of our galaxy with the precession of the equinox.
Right.
I think anybody who's really, you know, into all this has heard most of this theory, but definitely it's a universal thing. We all are affected by all kinds of cycles. The moon has cycles that affects our moods, and these bigger cycles definitely affect us. So about every halfway around the precession equinox, every 13,000 years or so, something big happens. Last time it was, as far as we can tell, it was sort of flashy. A great flood was part of the big mm-hmm. change. This time, so everyone's a little punchy, thinking, you know, we're going to wipe down again, but doesn't look like it's happening that way. It's a different kind of shift. But yeah, sure, it's powered by cosmic forces and our inner relationship to them. Solar system, universe, galaxy, the core of the galaxy, our relationships to the core of the galaxy, all affect us. Vibrations are rising. This is one thing that was explained. On our planet, the magnetics has been dropping for quite a while, which kind of affects people's brains. They don't fire right. The electrical synapses don't quite connect the way they should. What is the purpose of that? It's supposed to be to drive us to our heart so we can feel through and connect to the earth. And in the meantime, the Earth's vibrations are rising. You know, the Shulman resonance frequency has been increasing for a long time. Official sources won't really say that. Greg Braden has been following it. I'm not sure where he gets his information. As far as I can tell, the Navy is the only one that takes the official figures, and they wouldn't write me back. But a lot of sources confirm that the Shulman resonance frequency is rising. So our vibrations connected to Mother Earth are rising. We're all seeing a little more clearly. Life's getting very complex, so there aren't any definite good guys and bad guys to fight. That's part of realization of how we're all connected. It makes realizing we're, you know, working together part. Makes it easier to understand that. I think that's the whole point, that the cosmic forces are affecting our physical, our bodies and our energetic bodies and our perceptions of each other and life. And that's kind of what's behind any kind of foundation for improving the world.
So what I'm seeing just in my patients, workplace and society in general is people are having a lot of non-specific symptoms, physical symptoms. It wasn't specifically listed in the book, but we find a lot of these symptoms can be improved with magnesium. There tends to be a magnesium deficiency. We need a lot more magnesium right now. And also gabitrol. Gabitrol is GABA plus some other neurotransmitters that help people calm down. People are in a state of, you know, high emotional sensitivity, and because their brains aren't firing quite right, they're misunderstanding things and reacting too much to things that they should just, you know, correct and not go crazy with. And patients, we run a surgery center here. We're a plastic surgery center as well as an integrated medical practice. So patients tend to have fear out of control, you know, things that are just unusual for us. And so, you know, I think that, I mean, for the listeners, if your workplace is getting a little crazy, if your family's getting a little crazy, if people are misunderstanding each other and kind of flying off the hat, you know, these are the kind of things that are happening. And people are also having more serious problems with what I would call fourth dimensional intrusions into the third dimension. Negative things happening. This is not the time to go out and drink and do drugs, because if you do that, bad things are more likely to happen now. I mean, this is what we hear in meditation in session. So I just want to put that out there as some of the things we've gleaned. You know, clean up your life, and that is in the book. You know, eat well. You want to address what people can do, you know, to help themselves get through this time.
Right. Like you say, people are off balance right now, and the inclination is to do whatever you know. Get, you know, drink. Or
take a drink, do a drug,
drink, drug, well, antidepressants, you know, that's going way up. I'm glad
not a great idea right now. Well, the ascension process, from what I can see, is slowed down by pharmaceuticals. I mean, it really is, especially SSRI inhibitors and anti-anxiety drugs. They're not necessarily helping with the process. They might be working against it.
I've heard fluoride does that too. It kind of shuts down the higher functions of the brain. There's all kinds of things that are, but it's, I guess
shuts
it's
down
all
the
for
feeling
a balance
nature.
And,
you know, the feeling nature, which is important right now. That you your intent is fueled by your feeling nature, which that's a great chapter. I can't remember which one, but the idea that your intent is like the arrow, but the power behind the arrow is your feeling, how passionate you are. And if you don't care, if you're just totally like a zombie going through life, you're not going to be able to manifest anything.
Right. Well, and it's another point that it's a good time to try to get out in nature. Everybody understands, you know, they feel better when they're outside, and this is probably a time to do that more. You know, it's not just for fun, it's for your functionality. You need to you know, feel nature and relax.
Because this process requires one to be in kind of a altered state that's pleasant, you know, but natural, like the peaceful feeling you feel in nature. You know, if you play a musical instrument, you get that same feeling. Meditation, spiritual practices, yoga and Qigong, you know, anything that lets you kind of rest and zone out in a healthy way will help with this shift. And
right.
I don't know whether you've experienced it. I don't know whether you've experienced, but I've experienced like having to sleep a lot. I mean, like, it's like I'm a teenager again. I'm sleeping, because normally I only sleep 5 hours a night, 5 to 6. And some Saturdays I sleep all day. Except to do the radio show. I try to stay awake for that. So
It affects everybody differently, and I think it comes in cycles. There'll be times when we need to sleep a lot, and other times when we're having anxiety issues. It's just hard to pin down, and it could be personal, but there's a lot of universal stuff going on, too. So it's hard to know what's affecting us. But, you know, nature understands the need for rest, you know. And we get in this very driven society. We think we have to be productive all the time. But there again, you know, it's cycles and pacing ourselves and listening to our body and trying to, you know, find a well-balanced approach for the long run.
Yeah, if you study astrology, you will begin to appreciate cycles. You know, that what you're going through now is similar to what you went through 7 years ago. You know, there's cycles like 200. My astrologer's always telling me, look at what happened 250 years ago, or, you know, some cycle a year ago. You know, there's different lengths of cycles, but it's just amazing at what comes around in cycles. And one of the things we learned in astrology is that there is a time to go out and create and push forward, and then there's a time, and these are cyclical, there's a time like when Mercury is in retrograde or in void of course moons where you pull back and you go within and you, you know, get everything kind of organized again and then go before so that you can go back out and maybe create in a better fashion.
Right.
So these
time for every
people
purpose
get that.
Under heaven. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So if you understand that the natural course of everything is cyclical, but it's also like an in-breath and an out-breath. You know, there's times to do things and then times to reflect on what you've done and what you might need to change.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all holographic again from the big breath that created the universe, and then eventually we'll breathe it back in down to our own individual breaths and how we relate to everything in between. In and
I've
out.
Heard that it's not just the 12,600 cycle, the one that you referred to back, because one cycle back was a great flood, as you said. But it's also one of the great cycles that is coming to an, you know, in between is the in-breath and out-breath of Brahma. Have you heard that as
right.
well?
I never really know what that is referring to. In Hinduism, I believe it was the original creation, and then the when we're all done with this world, then he breathes in and it's gone. I think there's different levels of that, but how did you interpret that?
Well, I first heard about it because I was involved in a program called the Truth Convention with David Wilcox. And David said, he gave like a whole day session, which was wonderful. He said we're at three cycles. One is the 12,600, which you is in your book.
Right.
The other is
yeah.
The 3,600 cycle, which has to do with Planet X. And when in one of the chapters it mentions that there's three of those to every large 12,600 cycle. So the 3,600 cycle is when Planet X when Planet X comes into our solar system. And then the big one was the in and out breath of Brahma, which I believe was it's something like 3600000, a lot of zeros. It's a very, very large time period. Maybe 360 million years or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
But
it's
really a big one. And that's the in and out breath of Brahma, and it's exactly right what you said. It's when we're at the lowest part, the Kali Yuga, which is the darkest.
Right.
Probably the most darkest was World War II, and then some of the other genocides that occurred after that. So we actually had our low point, you know, within recent history, and then we started coming out of it. And I think one of the chapters in your book says exactly when we started coming out of it, too. I mean, there was a date that it was, you know, that we started coming out of it. And then the 12/21/2012 was the exact point that it switches going back into the light, you know,
right.
So we get out of the Kali Yuga.
Right. Well, see, Hinduism has this all pinned down. Like I say, the in-breath and out-breath is the beginning and ending. In the meantime, they break it down to the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and then the Iron Age, which is the Kali Yuga. And they start from the Golden Age, which is the longest, down to the Kali Yuga, which is the shortest. Now, the thing is, I think people looked at that closely, and in the Kali Yuga, which is still pretty long, they pinned down where the darkest time was, which was all those wars, World War One and World War Two, and finally things started turning around. We almost killed Mother Earth.
That would probably be the most dangerous thing, to wipe out the planet.
Yeah.
A lot more dangerous than killing off some people.
But supposedly that's when she decided that we got to change the rules and we're going to, she's going to ascend. And we're all pulled along with it if we stay in harmony with her. But then supposedly, the other way of looking at this is when this Kali Yuga is over, we're going into another golden age. And I'm not sure how that affects the breath of Brahma, but that's been prophesied too. And I think
and that lines up with Revelation. Revelation saying there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah, 1,000 years of peace or something.
Right. Well, it's the same time period. So even though it's different religions, it's a similar flavor of the prophecy.
Right.
One of the
Without
most interesting things.
Back to the end.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice flavor without that conclusion where we're being sucked back into Brahma, the end of everything, you know. That's as more depressing than Revelations.
Yeah. There's a great picture that I actually have in my waiting room that I'd like people to look up. I found it when I went to Hawaii. It's John Petrie, P-I-T-R-E. He's a Hawaiian artist, a visionary artist, and he has a picture called Ascension. And at the top, you see kind of, his representation of God, and then you see the humans coming out, the Middle Ages, the different humans dressed different ways, and at the bottom, there's a woman holding an atom. And that represents the, atomic age. And then you see people going back into God. And it's just a fabulous, fabulous piece of art. And you can go on his website and take a look at it. But that, to me, is the in and out breath of Brahma. I mean, I think we differentiate in order to experience things so that God can experience different things, tell different stories, try different things, try different hats on. And then when we get, totally kind of out of touch with reality, which is, oneness and that we're all the similar stuff, that then we're called back so that we don't get too far down and destroy planets, with the atom bomb. which evidently, according to some of the channeled sources, has already occurred. There have already been people that have blown up their planets with nuclear weapons. So, it's not that we haven't done that. We have done that. It's just that we don't want to do it again.
Right. Well, I think the purpose behind the system, the cycles, is that first it's towards individualization. We move away from the unity to better understand our particular perspective on it. And so everybody gets very selfish, and that's been going on for, 13,000 years or something. But then the idea is, okay, once you realize all these different perspectives, before you all destroy everything, we got to get it together, learn to appreciate everybody else's perspective.
Right.
And that leads to the unity which we recognize as God and ourself as part of it.
So the idea of oneness, the idea that at some level in creation, be it in the higher dimensional, at the soul level, at the monad level, whatever level you want to say, we are working together for the greater good. And so when that idea comes down to this plane, and it may not come down to the third dimension because, as we see from the book, it's actually a planetary ascension. So the planet is ascending into the fifth. But in the fifth dimension, at least, when we get there, things are going to be a lot different. There won't be so much suffering. There won't be so much, fighting and different opposing viewpoints clashing with each other.
Yeah, no one really knows exactly how this is going to happen. We have to kind of deal with what we have right here. But we are told in channeling that there'll be actually a split. We're three different entities told us almost the exact same words, how the vibrations of this planet are going to rise to a point where this R3D world will be in much better shape. And, what we do now helps get that in a better order. But at some point, Mother Earth is going to split off, and there'll be like two worlds. And the different people with the different orientations will go one way or the other. And I was surprised when Dolores Cannon came out and said basically the same thing. Because, you know, we're nobody, but she's traveling the world and with these messages.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out and said basically the same thing. So we've been told that she's explained it from the ETs that she talks to. Still, mm-hmm. it's hard to know, you know, how to relate to that. I think... however you explain it, I think the important thing is to get a grip on what we have right now and deal with what we have. You know, you want to prepare yourself for ascension, be in harmony with the world as you can, harmony with nature and our own inner self, but also kind of not be entirely selfish and look out at all the problems, you know, the things that need improving.
Well, one thing. Yeah, that's true. I mean, sticking in the now is important. The information we got in session was very similar to what she got, that there was a time when suddenly there would be, and it would be fairly sudden, it wouldn't be over years and years, that the realities would split. And based on whether your service to self or service to others, that's the main thing that we got in session too, that would be the, right. You know, you would have to be at least 51% service to others to make it through. So I think that puts a little bit of responsibility on the individual now to start shifting themselves. Because obviously,
right.
if you had a choice between these two worlds, you wouldn't want to necessarily stay in the third dimensional Earth. You would definitely want
yeah.
to go with the fifth dimensional or the fourth dimensional. I mean, you want to go to the higher dimensional planet because it's just going to be a lot better to live there. So,
right.
I mean, now's the time to make those shifts where you start thinking about others more than you start thinking about yourself. That's what I take away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there is one interesting chapter. You might be able to tell me which one this is where they, I don't remember if it's Dolores's or not, but where they say that it is actually the pole shift that is perhaps going to be initiated by Planet X passing close, which we believe it has in the past. The pole shift that is like the environment for this ascension process. What do you think of that? Do you think that is accurate?
Well, that sounds like something that I wrote. Like I said, we were channeling, and I wrote this book, Looking, Seeing, and Knowing, and what I put in this book was excerpts from that. And
mm-hmm.
like I say, at this point, I'm not sure how to think about this. I'm going to tell you what we were told in the channeling is
mm-hmm.
that things happen slowly. The Earth changes increase and increase. Political, economic things just kind of go to meltdown. And when you think it can't get any worse, that's when Planet X comes by and it shuts everything down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that, for me, that, I've been working with this for like, I don't know, a decade or something. And at first
mm-hmm.
it was all really fascinating. Now I'm feeling like, you know, I'm looking for the amount, what we can do about things, what kind of control
right.
can we have over these huge cosmic forces? Because this is really our world. And I think it all is pretty well determined by our consciousness. Now, we get
mm-hmm.
A help in that regard from the universe. As the Earth vibrations rise, ours are going to rise. But still, it's a matter of focus and... our own orientation, like you say, service to others or service to self. But in that same regard, it's kind of a paradox because if you really care about others, I mean, you know, all the lives we've had here, we've created situations, we've created children, you know, one way or another that we're kind of responsible for. So, yeah, I'd like to get out of here, but I kind of want to make sure everybody else is okay too. So, hard to know what's going to happen. Now, if it just happens, like you say, overnight, and this is how it was explained to us in channeling, things will just kind of get...
Us too.
You'll start seeing things from another dimension that kind of start bleeding through.
Right.
I asked about the 3 days of darkness. He said, well, metaphorically maybe, but no, I don't really see that. He just saw us just sort of stepping into the other mm-hmm. world. And he said for a while, as the vibrations are rising, for a while, you can go back and forth. You can come back here and tell people about it and try to encourage people to come over, try to fix situations, and then just flip back to your mm-hmm. side. But at some point, somewhere around like vibrations of 21, right, the ascension, I think, is supposed to be like 13. When it rises like 21, the door shuts and the two worlds are separate. That's how it was explained to us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds sort of theoretical at this point, looking around.
But
the
it was
real
explained that way to a lot
wondering.
Of different groups. You know, that's the thing, that didn't yeah. know each other.
Yeah.
Well, we got that was, in Georgia anyway, it would be kind of twilight for 3 days, either dawn or
yeah.
dusk, I can't remember. But we
right.
wouldn't be either in light or dark because of where we are on the planet. And that when the planet stops spinning because of the gravitational force of Planet X, that's what holds the
yeah.
planet from spinning. You know, that's it's a magnetic
right.
pull, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's the same magnetic pull as Planet X whips around that causes the pole shift. But I didn't
yeah.
realize until I read your book that the pole shift has an effect on the consciousness of the planet. That's the thing I didn't realize.
Well, it's kind of like when you're in an accident, you have a car accident, bam.
Uh-huh.
It goes through slow motion for a while, but you're in shock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the pole shift is sort of like a planetary shock, and you just kind of snap out of reality for a little bit, and that gives
mm-hmm.
Other forces a chance to reset things. You know, so it's like changing the station. You know, changing, you come to, you look, and things are different.
Things are different. And, you know, as a trauma surgeon, I can tell you, I mean, I've spent 30 years in ERs, and I can tell you a number of times, car wrecks and even very traumatic surgeries, the person on the other end of that has a significant consciousness shift. Sometimes they become clairvoyant, sometimes clairaudient, sometimes, you know, their whole perceptual reality changes. And I always thought maybe it's that they dropped a lot of karma, you know, negative karma, and then raised their vibrational rates up. But I like your way of saying that perhaps the whole planet will have that happen with the pole shift. You know, it's just something's going to happen, and then bam, you know, you're at a higher vibrational level, and everything changes. So,
yeah, something changes when you, I don't say die definitely, but, you know, when you just kind of click out of normal reality. I think it was St. Francis that said, I die daily. He was a really
mm-hmm.
wise, mystic guy. But it's cool to practice it in meditation. And then, like you say, during these traumatic events, it just kind of happens naturally. It's like the universe has these tools that, bag, if we need it, it'll give us all the trauma we need to change our consciousness. The idea is, be nice to do it ourselves so we don't need a whole lot of trauma. That's what I'm still working with. Like I say, like you, we've gotten all this stuff about Planet X and these horrible planetary things. We don't really know how much trauma we actually have to go through. We know kind of the system, but we don't really know what the impacts are actually going to feel like, you know. So I think a lot of this has to do with our preparation, our meditations, connecting with others,
mm-hmm.
How much we ease into the whole unity consciousness without the forceful resets, you know.
I wanted to tell you that back in 1990, we had a meditation group, and we would ask questions. And one of the questions is, what will we feel during the ascension? And the answer is interesting. It was, well, you'll probably be dizzy and nauseated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was funny. I mean, you could be, you know, during a short period of time. I don't think it's a long period of time. But that was an interesting answer, you know, what you'll actually feel right when it happens.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Well, when people are in front of spiritual masters in that rarefied vibrational energy, they often feel, you know, dizzy and nauseated. I mean, that's one of the common things that people report. You know,
it's so, I think it's a matter of your vibration too.
We were discussing this
when it comes to the planetary shift, the split. And what he was saying was there was two descriptions: one for the people who are ascending with Mother Earth, and yeah, it's a little dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's people who don't ascend with Mother Earth. Now realize we're all connected to Mother Earth, and if she was to ascend, and you have this life contract, and you're holding the universe's life contract, you're going to stay behind. But you'll feel really bad because something's wrong, you know. And you break this connection with Mother Earth, that's not supposed to happen. I mean, it's never happened before, and it's supposed to feel really bad.
Well, I just thought it was an interesting answer. You know, it may not be. I mean, like, you're right. If your vibrational level is very, very high, you may not feel much of anything other than just a shift in overall consciousness and find yourself in a light body that doesn't need to eat as much or... you know, doesn't need to, you know, the same, has the same medical issues that our human bodies do. So, there's a number of different references on the DNA shifts during this. Would you like to comment on that?
I don't really know where to start. You know, there's physical DNA and spiritual DNA, and our DNA has been changing. Dolores Cannon has talked about three different types of humans that have been incarnating since the first one came in 1920, I think. But over this period, actual different types of humans, they each bring in a different type of DNA. And, of course, they're, you know, blending with this world, and gradually our DNA is changing. Now, also, you know, it's been proven that it's not just one of those natural forces, you got what you got, and good luck with it, because our DNA, our actual physical DNA, is affected by our thoughts and attitudes and consciousness. A lot of that junk DNA is actually receptors and senders, you know, and so whatever we're around, whatever we feel, that kind of feeds back and develops our DNA. We are told that when the shift happens, we'll have all 12 strands of DNA manifested. As far as I know, there's still only two, but I've heard of some amazing things some people have done, and be interesting to look at their DNA and see what's happening. And these things happen on different levels, so you could possibly have all 12 strands of DNA in effect on a subtle level, even though they take your cell apart and look at it, and you only see two under a microscope. But then, you know, who knows, 15 years from now it may be different because things manifest slowly. So it's sort of a complicated, esoteric sort of thing. But the point is, definitely our DNA is changing and improving.
Yeah.
And connecting,
well,
you can see the oneness right down to the DNA level, where the senders and receivers, our DNA is being impacted by those around us, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that also helps the connection.
And you know, I want to put out a caveat here, too. Don't think that your DNA, you know, has your destiny in it. You know, there's been a lot on the news about the BRCA gene with Angelina Jolie, you know, getting a mastectomy because of that.
Oh, yeah.
And really, you know, we've interviewed Bruce Lipton several times, and Bruce's work is all about that it's really your environment, especially your internal environment, your attitude, whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, you know, whether you have anger management, you know, these kind of things that are so important in what genes actually express and don't express. So, you know, you have a lot more control over your DNA than you know, we're taught in medical school. So, you know, that's some relief. I really like the idea in here that there's children now who are teenagers that are really highly connected to the higher realms, and can bring forth answers to very, you know, significant environmental problems or how to clean up nuclear waste, that kind of thing. That's very exciting because, I mean, all those answers exist, obviously, somewhere in the Akashic records. We're not the first planet to try nuclear power. So, you know, it's great that there are individuals now that can access that information and start developing technology that will be very, very useful. You know, you don't have to be so depressed about things. You know, it's hopeful.
It's interesting to see what they do with it, too. I've got a daughter who found that she could get any answer she wanted to. She found a old friend who was a mountain man when she was, and he's over on, I think it's like a moon of Jupiter or something, but she could talk to him like he's in the same room. And then she found her mother from a different life who just came in as a wood nymph, living a wood nymph now, and she was talking to her. Anyway, so she got talking to these people like they were like real people. And then any answer she wants, she could just kind of get herself, mm-hmm. yes or no or anything. And then after she found out she could do anything like this, then she decided to rejoin the world and just put it all away. So you never know. I mean, it's like the answer, there's so many kids like this out there that mm-hmm. Have all these abilities, but they don't know what to do with them. They're trying to fit in the world the best they can, but mm-hmm. who knows what kind of miracles are going to kind of slip out. You know, no one wants to
take center
stage.
Well, what happens when they get
together?
Yeah, you know, when they start getting together, when they start being moved together into think tanks. See, I think it's just not time yet. But I think they will be.
But, you know, I remember many nights when she'd just, you know, go contemplate and see who's online, and she'd be talking to people all over the world, just, you know, uh-huh. other kids that are just, you know, like their own internet system psychically.
Yeah.
Who knows what these guys are doing?
You know, with the internet and the different ability to search out things, people of like minds.
Right.
I mean, you could start an internet meetup group for all the kids that have that ability. I mean, they could assemble very quickly. You know, you don't have to be in the same physical location. So I think when it's time that will happen. I think, you know, I think that if we do have any particular cleanup missions to do because of our past errors and judgment, I think that I've always felt that these children will be the ones to bring in the answers.
It's good to know the resources there. I mean, all the old mindsets that had us locked in don't seem to affect them much. They rely very much mm-hmm. on their own intuition, and their intuition's a lot better than, I don't know, I typically thought people had. So it's a resource that, like you say, when the time is right, it might... it's there to draw on. Hopefully it'll work out. As a parent, I try to organize it and suggest what she should do, but you know, it's not happening.
That really works, doesn't it?
We'll wait and see. Maybe it'll be useful when the time is right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a timing issue. I think I just love hearing stories about these kids. They're just so they're like little. They're planted all over the world, and they're just waiting to do what they came to do. But, you know, I think we're still in the process. I do want to tell people that are out there that are, you know, starting to understand that there are these intuitive gifts that, you know, we have kind of within us, but maybe we don't use as often as we could. This energy coming in from the galactic center is actually going to awaken those gifts in you. You know, clear sentience, clear audience, feeling nature, and knowing. Those will come into being, and you won't wonder why you're here. You won't wonder what to do next week. I mean, you'll know what to do. And so that's the beauty of what's coming forward. And we need to remind everybody
that was at its most forceful right on 2012.
Exactly.
You know, the last
so
December.
It's happening right now.
So, Yeah, so like the switch has been flipped. Now we're so used to just thinking
right.
with our brains, we don't realize all those other resources are there. But people are getting more and more used to their abilities being more and more reliable. So I think that's kind of where we need to just place our trust. And, you know, I think one of the big things is to, it'll save us from all of the bad opinions out there, is it to learn to trust our own instincts. People have been deferring to the church forever. And, you know, there is an organization that power, it's based on power like all the other corporations.
Right.
And then the different churches fight each other. They're all supposed to be based on love, but somehow it got messed up. And I think what happens is people defer. They say, oh, no, I'm nothing. God's everything. What does that mean? You know, you have to kind of trust your own instincts. We all have our own tie to the divine, and that's growing. And as that grows and we're all unified, and some of this other nonsense should just fade away.
Yeah, Jesus said God is within, but
right.
the churches have tried to make God be without, from without, where if you only gave 10% of your money to the church, you know, you could buy your way into heaven. And so it wasn't
well, that was
emphasized.
The Catholic Church.
Yeah. Did I say Catholic? I didn't say Catholic. That could be anything.
No, that was the Catholic Church that did that.
That was the Catholic Church, right.
Yeah, that would, it was Constantine. Realize it was Constantine. The Romans kind of hijacked Christianity, and they turned it into an imperialistic sort of structure. So not only were they working their conquests on bodies, but now on the mind. So like a conquest on a whole new level. And it worked, you know. And after the church killed off everybody who disagreed with them for 1,500 years, then you got some good Catholics left. But when you put it all in perspective, you realize it was not really a real spiritual endeavor. I mean, yikes. And then, you know, I think Islam came along to replace the defective Christianity, but, you know, they got violent too. So the point is, you can't defer to, no matter what the organizations say, the government or the churches that say that they know best and we're just supposed to fall in line. I think the only answer, only salvation the world has, is everyone relying on their own intuitive knowing that allows us all to connect in a natural way. And the different cultures, appreciate the different cultures, not just, you know, no one's God's chosen people. I mean, come on. We're all have our value, all God's people. It's a matter of learning to get along. I think that's what the shift is all about. Not just an awareness of this, but this book is pointing out how to manifest that in every different field.
I don't know whether you've heard about this, but let me just throw this out to see what you think. I read in one of the books I had on the radio show that the God's chosen people didn't refer to chosen people. It referred to the people chosen to keep the Ark of the Covenant hidden. So that's
good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But then the other thing, Ark of the Covenant is actually linked to the Ascension. some information came in through session and was also verified from other groups who didn't know each other. The Ark of the Covenant, which is still hidden, by the way, we don't know exactly where it is, but there's some ideas. And there's more than one Ark, so that's interesting. William Henry wrote a book on the Ark of the Covenant, and there's a lot of very interesting information in that book. But William Henry and the information we got in session says that the Ark is actually the ignition key for the Ascension, which is very interesting.
Oh, cool.
So there's something very sacred about the Ark. And I interviewed on my TV show years ago Barbara Gardner, who wrote a book called The Psi Prophecy, and that was about Sai Baba in a future incarnation being involved in the Ascension process. And the Ark was very much involved in the Ascension in his story. And Barbara told me that she and her husband went to see Sai Baba, and he, of course, he called them out of the thousands of people. And basically, she said her heart was opening because she couldn't even talk to Sai Baba. She was crying so much. Meanwhile, her husband and Sai were talking. And then at the end of this interview, he looked over at her and said, that book you were, because she was given this book in a dream. You know, the entire thing was given in a dream.
Yeah.
He looked at her and said, that book you were given, write it and I will bless it. And then it's a book about Sai Baba, the Ascension, the Ark of the Covenant. So I would say there's evidence out there that the Ark of the Covenant is very very much involved in the Ascension process. So that would be the chosen people. And who knows where it is now? Isn't that interesting? Isn't it? It's a real good mystery.
I don't know. You know, I'm kind of at the school that we don't really need tools or artifacts or anything that's beyond our control, that we all have our connection. Now, I'm sure there are things that are going to come into our realm, like you say, cosmic things, or maybe this arc, maybe, but...
But it's like being a transformer, though, you see. It's like taking energy and transforming it down in, you know, into a different level or state. I think that's what they were talking about in terms of the channeling. But you might research it. It is, I'm sure it's still on the
internet. I'll look into it.
It's very interesting. But I guess we'll know after the Ascension occurs what role the Ark of the Covenant had. I'm sure it will come out then. But until then, I think it's supposed to, we heard it's supposed to remain hidden for a good reason, because, you know, you wouldn't want to stop the Ascension by destroying the Ark. You know, that would be
Every something. Powerful thing we have has been used for evil first, you know, so it'd be nice if something really powerful doesn't come out before its time.
Right. Well, we are getting to the end of the hour. Would you like to give some contact information?
Well, our website is shiftawareness.com. There's a Facebook page under that also. I don't know what else you need. You can find everything there. There's a lot of books on all this stuff. There's two books on this, on the shift. This first one we were just talking about was more general and about what's really happening. And then this last one we just came out with, The Sacred Shift, Co-Creating Your Future in a New Renaissance. That's a lot more down to earth. It still has some good authors in it, Steve Behrman, Diana Cooper, Barbara Max Hubbard, but it's more hands-on, nuts and bolts, more than the general concepts. So between those two, I think we got it covered.
Well, if you'd like to send me that book, the second book, we'll get you back on for that one, too.
Okay.
Well, very I think good. It's very important that people, you know, that people understand what this shift is about, because, like I said earlier, if there really is a tipping point that is coming in the future, and your personal vibrational level may, you know, may be tipping you one way or the other, then now's the time to work on that. So it's very much important for everybody on the planet at this point, more so than they may realize. So I'm doing my own little part trying to convince people that it really does matter which way you go, you know, up or down.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We've been interviewing Dr. Hunt Hinnion in his book 2012, Creating Your Own Shift. This is a compilation work of different leaders in spirituality and consciousness research, as well as higher dimensional sources coming through experienced channelers. And it's a comparison of, you know, the different theories, but also information on how you can prepare and, you know, hopefully come out on the other end in the world that is best suited for you. Anyway, thanks a lot, Hunt, for joining us. It's been a delightful conversation, and hopefully we can have you back for your second book.
Great. Thank you. Yes, I'd love it. Thank you.
All righty. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week we will have Dr. Amit Goswami. God is Not Dead, What Quantum Physics Tells Us About Our Origins and How We Should Live. Then Dr. Eric Love is coming back on the 15th, Healing the Heart and Mind. Tricia McCannon will be on with me on the 22nd. I'm not sure if we're going to be talking about her Jesus book or about the galactic energy. She does. We don't have a topic yet. And then we have The Secret to Healing Cancer on the 29th of June. Anyway, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.